Richard, would you please open us in prayer?
Yes.
You sound far away for some reason.
I'll turn my volume. All right, is that better?
Yeah, you're clear for me, yes.
Okay, praise God. Well, let's all go to God in prayer together. Most gracious and precious Lord, Father of heaven and earth, we come to you today to thank you. To thank you for life and thank you for it abundantly. Father, you have blessed us in the ways that we began to discuss or even fathom how great your love has been toward us.
Yes.
Father, today we just praise you, we honor you, we glorify you for all that you are and all that you will ever be. For there's no one you're equal. There's no one who is like you. There's no one who has done the things for all of us that you've done for each and every one of us. So, Father, in this day, we thank you, we bless you, and we praise you. We thank you, Father, that we can come to you despite of our circumstances, our situations, despite of our unrighteousness, Lord God. You still receive, Lord, we ask today, in the name of Jesus, that you would see us through the blood of Jesus. Oh, Lord God, watch and cleanse each and every one of us that are on this call and those that will call in and those that will listen at a later date. Wash and cleanse us all, Father, for we need a fresh and a new anointing from you today.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
We need your spirit, Lord, just grow in us each and every second of this day, Father, so that we may be pleasing to you. You are the King of Kings. There's no one like you. There's no one that does what you do. And yet, Father, we as mere your breath can come to you in Jesus' name and you hear our prayers. What an awesome thing that is, Lord God, knowing that you will move heaven and earth for us because you love us so much. So, Father, we thank you for the things that you've done, the way that you have prepared an eternal life for all of us who has accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Our friend.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Father, we bless you today. We praise you. As we celebrate the men on this earth, we first celebrate you. For you are the Father of all fathers. You are the Dad of all dads. Shown us what responsibility really means and how we ought to handle it. So, Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the road that you've given each and every father and woman, Lord God, and mothers, Lord God. So, Lord, we thank you today, Lord God, that you would continue to bless us, that you would continue to allow your spirit to flow through us, and that your anointing would fall afresh and anew upon this service today.
Yes, hallelujah.
Bless the speaker, Lord. Bless Jeanette. Remove any doubt, any apprehensiveness, anything that the Satan is trying to throw away, Lord God, that doesn't want to bring forth your word. Lord, I ask that you let your spirit fill her soul today, Father, that she would bring forth a fresh and a new word only from you. So, Lord, we thank you for her, Father. And then bless Alexandra as she reads your word, Father. Oh, Lord, let your spirit flow in her, through her, and out of her as she reads your word. And each ear that will hear will have a fresh hearing, will have a heart that is fertile, Lord, wants to receive what we are hearing. And, Lord, that we would become doers of what we hear. So, Father, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you, Father. And we thank you for all that are on this call that may have something else they want to do, but, Lord, you saw it fit and willing that they should be on this call at this time. Lord, bless them too, Father. Let your spirit have its way today, Lord God. We welcome you in, Holy Spirit. Come on in, Holy Spirit, and have your way today. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, we bless you and we praise you, and we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank you, Jesus.
Amen, amen. Oh, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, so we're in Luke 7, and we're going to, I want to kind of recap what we were talking about. We were talking about John the Baptist and how even when John the Baptist towards the end began to doubt and he sent the message, are you the Messiah or should we look for another? And John the Baptist, Jesus' reply was rather than tear him down for doubting, his reply was, there is no greater man. He tells the messengers, go to John and remind him of who I am and what I've done remind him that the blind see and the crippled walk, and that all of the miracles and that he's done. Remind John, because when we are in a hard place, when we're struggling, a lot of times we have a hard time being able to remember what he's already done.
Yes.
And we talked about
Amen.
How that's how we can get back, is reflect on what God has already done, and it'll strengthen your faith so that you can make it through that storm, whatever storm you're in. Jesus did not condemn John for doubting. He sent somebody there to remind him, And we talked about that's what we need to do with one another. When somebody is falling, when they're getting caught up and they're losing their way, we pick them up. Don't chatter about them and all that. Just pick them up and help them. Help them to remember and to see and remind them who they are in Christ. Because
Amen.
It's very easy to lose our way and forget who we are in Christ.
Amen.
Life has a way, and this world is designed to choke it out of you.
Yes. Say that again. Amen.
So, soon as the messengers leave, he turns around and says there was no greater prophet than John the Baptist. So, instead of buying into where somebody is fallen, he instead lifts him up even in the ears of those who were around.
Yes.
Talking about there wasn't greater than John the Baptist. But everybody. Now, if Jesus is saying there's not a prophet greater than John the Baptist, then what is he saying there? He's saying that all of us are capable of slipping. And when you think that you're not, you're in a dangerous place. When you think you're all okay, everything's fine with me, I'm great, you're in a dangerous place.
Amen.
Because what's seeping in is pride, usually, and you're not seeing yourself clearly. We have to stay close to the cross.
Amen.
Close to the cross. Mm-hmm. When certain thoughts come in our mind, we have to put them in check right then and there, because that's how we begin to slip. Okay. Jesus also addressed the fact that John the Baptist wasn't eating, he wasn't drinking, he was, you know, out there in the desert eating wild honey and locusts, and you criticize him for that. And then Jesus, he goes into people's house, might have a glass of wine and have dinner, and you called him a glutton.
Yeah.
Now, I want to bring this up because I didn't hit it last week. Something about that sticks with me or resonates, and that is stop trying to please people.
Ooh, how do you speak that? Yes.
Because you can't.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Get and realize this very day that the person you want to please is God.
Yeah.
People will love you today, hate you tomorrow, be your best friend today, find out tomorrow they're, you know, you're pulling a knife out your back. So how about stop trying to please people? There's nowhere in Scripture that he tells us it's our job to please people. And Jesus is pointing it out right here. No matter what, if I walk, if John doesn't eat anything but locust wild honey and, you know, by no fault with him, he spent his life baptizing people for the remission of sins in preparation for Jesus' coming. You got a problem with that?
Hmm.
Jesus comes to dinner, then you got a problem with that. Well, he's a glutton. So don't worry about what people are saying about you. Just live your life as a living testimony.
Amen.
Here's an example. There is a book that I read, oh man, it's got to be 40-plus years ago. And it's Pilgrim's Progress, and all of us are probably in schools at some point in life was exposed to it. There was a character in there, his name was Purity. And he was being followed by jealousy and envy. Jealousy and envy just kept taking mud and throwing it at the back of Purity as he's walking down this road. But Purity never turned around and gave it any attention. You know why? Because it couldn't stick. No matter how much mud they threw on Purity, who's dressed in white, it couldn't stick because he's living the life. And you're always going to have jealousy and envy following you around.
Amen.
They're down here, and that's how they live. They follow you and try to destroy you and try to this and try to that. But if what they're throwing at you, trying to dirty your testimony, can't stick, it's of no value.
Ooh, preach.
So Purity doesn't turn around to see, oh, gee, is that still on my back? He never even turns around because he knows it doesn't stick. I'm challenging us today, live that kind of life.
Yes.
So that our testimony is a living testimony.
Mm-hmm.
The people that there are going to be plenty of people that are going to criticize or not like you, especially as you progress into leadership.
Yes.
They're going to have something to say. Most of them are just jealous and envious. So do you think you can please a jealous or envious person?
No.
They've got a heart condition that has nothing to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
So we shouldn't waste our time trying to people please. Please God. Please God in all of our ways. Okay, let's go to verse 36.
When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume over them. When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered.
Stop there. We spend all this time picking out and judging other people's sins that we miss our own.
Come on.
Now, we talked about how they recline on their left side because they eat with their right hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that left his feet under the table, and how he had come into the house and nobody had bothered to wash his feet. But the very Pharisee that invites him to his house for this dinner is saying, well, if he was really a prophet, you're going to deal with this too. People are going to be questioning your anointing.
Mm.
Whatever it is, whether you're a teacher, whether you're this, whether you're that, they're there criticizing. Well, if you were really a prophet, you know that this woman is sinful. And that's because at this point, they still haven't even grasped what Jesus came for. He didn't come for the healthy. He came for the weak and the sick, the weak and the sick.
Amen.
Amen.
So when you say, oh, gee, well, look at these people in the church. They're doing this, they're doing that. Well, you know what? The church is a hospital.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Yeah, it's a hospital. So if you see somebody in the church and they're not dressed like you think they ought to, the person you ought to be looking at is yourself.
Come on now.
What is your problem? Oh, well, I know that he goes outside and he smokes weed. That should not be. No, it shouldn't. But what should you be doing about it?
Amen.
Should you be going to the pastor? Hey, he's supposed to be helping park cars, and I could smell marijuana on him. Is that what you should be doing?
No.
Absolutely.
What should you be doing?
Praying.
Amen.
Pray for him. Pray for them. You're getting a glimpse of an area in that person's life that they need some help.
Amen.
Pray for them.
Yes.
Lift them up.
Yes.
I remember this guy, I was at Calvary in Florida at the time, and this guy came in, which I think, anyway, this guy came in and he reeked of crack.
Uh-huh.
And people sat next to him and then moved away. That's mm-hmm. the very person you should be sitting next to.
Hallelujah.
Uh-huh.
Sit next yeah. to that guy, because when the yeah. altar call comes, maybe you'll be able to take him by the hand and lead him to Christ.
Yes.
Hmm.
Hallelujah.
So instead, this Pharisee, who has offered nothing, keep going.
Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. Two people owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt." "Forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." And Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven."
Okay, let's stop other right there.
Yes.
Stop right there. I want to bring this up because a lot of people, you notice that their walk with Christ, is almost like Christ didn't do that much for them.
Hmm.
Because they say, "I never was that bad to begin with.
True.
I never did this. I never did that."
Hmm.
So their commitment to Christ can be a little bit different. Because they kind of feel like, "I don't really owe him that much because I haven't been an offender."
I see. Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the problem. The problem is all of us have been offenders.
Yes.
Amen.
The problem is that most of us don't see how we offend. Let's take, how about Jeanette? Never did drugs, never did this, never did that. Oh, maybe I did a little bit, but then I got it straight. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. God began to point out things in me that were just as offensive as if I had been a full-blown addict.
Wow. Yes, amen.
How about unkindness? Mm. How about arrogance? How about short temperament?
Mm.
So a lot of times we don't see ourselves clearly, and yet we can see everybody else's sin very, very well.
So true.
So this lady says, "Hey, I've been a harlot, and my sins are so great." She recognizes who she is, and mm-hmm. that's why I believe when we get to heaven, you're going to be very surprised at who's there.
Amen. Amen.
I think a lot of times we're thinking, "Oh, it's going to be Mother Teresa," and I'm not saying she's not. It's going to be Saint this guy, Saint that guy, and all these preachers. Mm. I think heaven's going to be filled with a lot of people like this woman. People that recognize that they were sin, that their sins needed to be forgiven and loved the Lord for doing it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But pride and arrogance seep in when you think that you've done very little wrong in your life. And if that's where you are, ask the Lord, reveal to me how I've lived my life that's been an offense to you, because he will do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace."
I want to point something else out about this woman. She comes to the Lord. She recognizes who she is. And then she serves the Lord to the best of her ability. She pours the oil, the perfume on his feet. She washes his feet. Why is she crying? Somebody tell me, why is this woman crying?
I think that those were tears of gratitude. Like, sometimes we can be so just overcome with gratitude of forgiveness for God. Like, I can cry right now just thinking about it. He's so faithful. And you know you've been so rotten, but yet he has blessed you like no other. You know, so I say those are tears of joy and love and admiration and gratitude.
And yet, he says to her, he says that her sins are forgiven. So you get the impression that he hadn't forgiven her sins yet. So why is she crying?
Because she heard it straight from him, from Daddy, the Messiah. She knows who he is.
She's crying before that. Why is she crying before that? She hasn't said that your sins are forgiven yet.
Yeah,
because she read.
Go ahead, Richard. I'm sorry. No, you go, Richard.
Okay, I believe in that. I believe she recognized how sinful she was.
Yeah. There you go.
And how much she needs God.
Yes.
To wash her sins away.
Yes. I don't think this woman even exactly knew how to repent. I don't think so. I think that she just knew she was in such a terrible state and knew that he was the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
So she does what she does, and you got to go by, what does he say? Your sins are forgiven.
Yes.
Now your faith has saved you. Faith in what? Her faith wasn't in herself.
Mm-mm.
Her faith was in his ability to save her from who she was. So, Richard, you're absolutely correct.
You know, I think, real quickly, I think there are times that what we just vocalize, you know, verbally, that it happens in the spirit. Sometimes the presence of the Lord can perform exactly what we just spoke about in words. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah, that was my perspective, and I say that because I've experienced that before. You know, Father God didn't have to tell me, but his presence and his actions and his faithfulness told me that your sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
And again, that's when the tears of gratitude come. Okay, chapter 8, I'm sorry. After this, Jesus traveled
I'm still going to say that it was that she recognized her need for him.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
She recognized her need for him.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
8. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and a village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Johanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means.
Hmm.
While Allah, should I pause?
No, keep going.
While a large crowd was gathering at people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on the rocky ground.
Stop right there. A farmer went out to sow his seed. Now, we talked about this before, so I should not have to. Who's the farmer?
Oh.
Who's represented in this? Who's the farmer?
Is that us?
Anybody know who the farmer is?
Uh-oh. Nope.
Okay, why we're here today, because we still don't know who the farmer is. We are the farmers.
Well, that's
not
said.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Amen.
God is not the farmer. We're the farmer. Okay? So if we're the farmer, and he says that some he's scattering seed, what does that look like for us? Scattering seed.
Oh, dropping seed, you know, speaking the gospel, speaking
the
good news. Yeah, the word of the Lord, yeah, through others.
How are we scattering seed? We're witnessing to people all along the way.
Mm-hmm.
We're scattering seed. So the seeds go out, and they hit different types of ground. Mm-hmm. Again, remember I talked about this. When you're scattering seed, you don't don't spend your time watching where the seed falls. If you do that, you're just going to waste your time. Okay, I want to scatter for me as many seeds as possible. I can't do that if every time I throw out seeds, I got to go back to see if this seed took.
Mm-hmm.
When you scatter seeds, children of the living God, they're going to fall in all kinds of places. Don't get caught up on, well, did this seed take root? Just get as many seeds out there as possible. Don't try to determine this person's a waste of my time.
Yes.
Well, they kind of look like they got a stony heart, so I'm not even going to bother with them. You don't know what condition they're in. Farmer, just scatter the seed. That's our job. He said, go and bring forth the good news. Scatter the seed. Now, what happened? Some of it fell on the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. You can't do anything about that.
Mm-mm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Just get the seed out. This is God's business.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay. Keep going.
Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh.
That's beautiful.
So, we're supposed to be scattering the seed.
Yeah.
And of all the seeds that you scatter, some is going to make it, and some is not.
Mm-hmm.
But the more seeds you scatter, the higher the odds are of the seed taking root, of some of those seeds finding good soil. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
So we need to continue in that vein of scattering the seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And don't spend time watching grass grow.
Amen.
And you know what I'm talking about when I say don't spend time watching grass grow. Don't try to micromanage somebody yes. that you're leading to Christ.
Mm.
Because mm-hmm. all you will end up is disappointed. Because they're mm-hmm. not going to grow fast enough for you.
Amen.
They're still going to be struggling with things that God hasn't taken from them yet.
Yes.
They have to grow in Christ.
Yes.
And if the seed has hit fertile ground, the Holy Spirit will take them the rest of the way.
Ooh, preach that.
Most of the time, if we're trying to micromanage where the seed landed, we're just wasting time that we could have been throwing out thousands more seeds.
Mm.
Okay.
Ooh, that was beautiful. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." This
now, what
is
he talking about there? What's he talking about there? Somebody reword that.
I'll reread it. Nine. His disciples asked him what the parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand."
Okay, so what's going on there? Why is Jesus only revealing these parables to his disciples and purposely speaking in a way that they would see and not see and hear and not understand? Why?
So is this a Christ follower filled with the Holy Spirit versus one who is not?
No, we're talking about Jesus is talking to his disciples.
Okay.
And he's saying to his disciples, "I'll tell you the mysteries of these parables."
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
But to the rest of them, the big crowds that are following, I'm not revealing that at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
You want to give them what they can handle.
Yes.
Like what, babies get milk, so to speak. And he plants the seeds, but he doesn't reveal what it means, what he's planting, but it's there.
And they will, and others like you and I, Gentiles and Jews alike, that did come in after, in time we will understand. But it wasn't for them at that time. Keep going.
Mm. Verse 11. "This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away." Ooh, that's, yes. Go ahead. Could you, Ms. Jeanette?
I didn't say stop. I don't know who was on speaking.
Wow. Wow, okay. "Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved."
What does that look like? What does it look like? The ones that fell on the path are the ones that the devil came and
takes away the word.
Mm-hmm. How does he do that? Give me an example of what that could look like.
Distraction. Temptation.
You can get a word and then you leave church.
Mm-hmm. Discouragement, yeah. Misbelief.
How about when a person receives the word and they're all excited about it and they leave church and they go home and they begin to tell their families because they're all excited. And before you know it, it's quenched because the adversary, working through their family, begins to tell them, well, you know what? That's only one religion, and there's lots of religions, and God, you know, can come to people. Are you telling me you only believe that Jesus is the way? Because I'm not really sure. And next thing you know, they're entertaining all this doubt, and it's gone.
Yes.
The adversary is working through people to snatch what's been placed in you away.
Amen.
As if it fell, as if the seed fell and it was received, but then a bird came and just yanked it right out from under you. You start listening to somebody saying something completely different. Next thing you know, you're lost. Keep going.
13. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away.
The How does a person have no root?
Repeat that.
How is it that a person has no root? What causes, what does it look like when a person has no root?
Not foundation or not grounded in the word of God or no relationship. No relationship.
Think of a sagebrush, how it is so easily blown in the wind because it is not rooted. How do we get rooted?
The word of God.
We meet people that they can hear things. As fast as they hear this, then they hear that. And as fast as they're on this page, then they're over there. Because they're not rooted. They're blown in the wind by anything that comes along.
Amen.
How, then, do people get rooted? Here's the hint.
Yeah.
The answer is in scripture about faith. How do people get rooted?
As Alexandra said, she said by the word of God, you got to seek out the word of God. You got to and seek out others who can share the word of God with you so that you can have the understanding of the word of God. And then the word will begin to grow in you. So it's
Amen.
By
Amen.
Seeking and
yes.
and chasing after it, as I've heard one scripture was, chase after the word of God like we do everything else. Chase after the word of God to seek understanding, and once you have it, then you'll begin to begin to grow roots.
Amen.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Amen.
It'll begin to get deeper because faith comes by
hearing. And
hearing. I didn't say reading.
By the word of God.
I said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Faith is the root.
Yes.
Faith is the root. That's what will stop you from wavering.
Ooh.
Okay, keep going.
And then for those who...
Go ahead, Richard.
And for those who may not heard one of the messages, well, how do we have faith? How do we have faith? Believe, remembering what he's already done for you will grow your faith.
Preach. Preach that.
Absolutely.
Yes.
That's what he tried to impart to John the Baptist, who was now doubting that he was the Messiah. Remember what you've already seen. Remember what he's already done in your life.
His faithfulness, yes.
Keep going.
Verse 14. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed.
So what are you hearing here?
Wow, that
We're
was powerful.
That you can. You're hearing that you can be saved.
Mm-hmm.
But you can get so caught up that you never mature.
Yeah.
What does that look like? You can be chasing your job. money, so caught up in your children's activities that you're not growing. You're not maturing. Why? Because I don't have time to mature. I don't have time to listen to God's word.
Been
I don't
there,
have
done
time
that.
For that.
Mm-hmm.
So then you just become an immature Christian the whole time you're, your time here on earth, you don't grow. Is this person not saved?
Oh, no, they're saved. They're saved.
So they are saved, but they're immature.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And what are the things that can cause this? Life's worries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Riches and pleasures.
Riches, pleasures, and they do not mature.
Mm-hmm.
You can get caught up very, very easily. Like, say, for example, you need to hear God's word. You need to grow. But incidentally, you don't even notice that every Sunday you plan something else. Oh, I got to get to this football game, or oh, I got to do this, or oh, I got to do that, or well, I would have been on the call, but or I would have been went, I would have went to church, but
preach.
And if you can't commit to growing, you're probably not going to.
Amen.
I think everyone on this call has been there.
Amen.
And Amen. Now COVID, when COVID hit, it really just knocks people right out of the ballpark. Well, I've learned that I can do a whole lot else with my Sundays. And I'm still saved. I still have a relationship with God. But are you growing?
Mm-hmm.
Are you maturing? Keep going.
15. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by preserving, produce a crop. Amazing. That was beautiful.
So what we're getting at here is how important it is to be diligently, sincerely seeking.
Yes.
And if you're doing that, you're going to grow in Christ. You're going to end up with completely different experiences in your walk with Christ.
Yes.
The immature Christian rarely gets past too much of anything. They're still getting all kinds of interference and foolishness and craziness. Life is full of craziness. Why are they not walking in victory? Why are their loved ones still out there?
Come on now.
Why has your testimony had no impact on the people you love?
Come on now, preach that right there.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Sometimes our level is so low, there's nothing being imparted to anybody else.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, yeah, we're saved. But our maturity level is such a lack that, frankly, people might say you're a good person. They might say, you know, yeah, I think they're, I'm pretty sure, well, I'm not sure. Well, they're really spiritual.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
You see what I'm getting at?
Oh, yes.
Your unwillingness to mature affects everybody around you because you're not rising up and being a seed caster. Because you're way down here.
Hallelujah.
Oh, you're safe. But if you want to grow in Christ, then you have to diligently seek after him.
Ooh,
listen to his word. Let it be imparted in you. A lot of times people say, I don't need to hear somebody talk about that. I can read it for myself. That's not what he said. He said faith comes by hearing.
Yes.
And hearing by the word of God.
Yes.
A lot of times you will, and we talked about this, you will hear message after message. You will go to a church. You'll sit there. The pastor will be blabbing away about whatever he's blabbing away. You come out and you say, I didn't get nothing out of that. Monday you'll say, I don't even know what he was talking about. Matter of fact, 20 minutes after church, I don't even know what he was talking about. Remember, the supernatural is taking place at all times. That's the part of the world we don't see, but it's real and it's taking place constantly.
Yes, hallelujah.
So even though you think you didn't get anything out of what was said, seeds have been planted. What does the Holy Spirit say? What does the Holy Spirit do? He says, I will bring back to your memory everything that I taught you. How can he teach you if you can't listen?
Hallelujah.
He's teaching you, even though you might think, I got nothing out of that. You might find 3 years later, you're talking, and all the things you learned in a passage you didn't even listen to, it starts coming out of your mouth. How did it start coming out of your mouth? Because it was seeds planted.
Yes, hallelujah.
And you'll say, well, I don't even know where I got that from. I don't even know how God said that. I mean, I didn't even know I knew that. Seeds planted.
Preach, preach.
Okay, where are we?
That was beautiful. 16. No one lights 14. A lamp. I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
Continue? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
No one lights a lamp and hides it in a day jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. This is affirming what you just said, Ms. Jeanette. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. Woo-wee! I'm going to pause right there because I know you have something to say.
That's the lamp said. What God has placed in you is light.
Yes.
Nobody wants to buy a light and then, you know, shove it in a box. So it'll come down to what he says in Matthew. Let your light so shine that others can see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let your light shine. I'm going to wrap it up right there. How do we let our light shine? Plant seeds. Be a living testimony. Mm-hmm. Walk in his way. Learn and grow. Learn and grow. Learn and grow so he can use you at a different level.
Yeah.
And the harvest that will come forth.
Oof.
You might say, gee, I don't even know how to comprehend that right now. But I'm telling you, you're going to meet him. You're going to meet him face to face.
Yes.
And it's going to matter. It's going to matter when he says the seed that you planted in, that person turns into a whole other harvest.
Yes.
And he's going to say, good and faithful servant, well done.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Let's be productive in the kingdom. Be productive in the kingdom. Listen and learn. Listen and learn. Listen and learn. Let the Holy Spirit impart in you.
Yes.
Lord, add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Ooh.
Any comments or prayer requests?
Thank you for stopping there.
Carol, I came on a little later. I do want to honor you as the father as well.
Yes, happy Father's Day, Terrell. God bless you.
Thank you to everybody. Appreciate it.
You. Same
to you, Richard.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Terrell. Father's Day.
Alexander has a prayer request. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to close some prayers, so go ahead. What's your prayer request?
I have a prayer request for a beautiful young lady by the name of Amanda Engel. I was informed today in church that she had fallen
17 stitches. She just recovered from COVID and was rushed to emergency again last night. She is my neighbor and has been for 25-plus years. So, again, Amanda Engel, supernatural healing, please. Thank you.
Okay. Any others?
Yes. Just a prayer request for Felicia and David as they're mending from their cold, that they would be completely healed, and
yes,
that God would restore them not only physically but spiritually as well.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
It sounds like Felicia.
Mm. It's me.
Uh-huh. Good morning, love.
Good morning.
Okay, so, Cheryl, would you close us in prayer?
Yes, awesome.
Can somebody else do it? My brain is foggy right now.
Okay. Volunteer?
Jessica, go for it, my sister.
Okay.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Tammy. We missed you.
Did you see my text?
No, because I was already on the call. But Jessica, closing in prayer.
We're closing in prayer now. Thank you. Go ahead, Jessica.
Any prayer requests from Tammy?
That I get my head together because I'm totally thinking it's 11. I'm just very scattered. So I was thinking I'm joining the call. It's almost over.
Okay.
Just for those of you that don't know, I don't know who's on the call, but I just moved and I'm in a big disarray right now, so I don't even know what time it is. So just pray for me and I'll talk to you later. Okay. All right.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time as we came together, Lord, to hear your word.
Yes, Lord.
Father, I pray that you clear any fogginess in our minds, Lord. There's a lot of just confusion and chaos. And Lord, I just pray that you bring clarity to our minds right now, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Please.
Remove the distractions, please.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I want to lift up Amanda, Alexandra's neighbor. Father, I pray for supernatural healing for her, Lord. You know all that's going on. And, Lord, we know that you're the only one that can do that, Father. And so I just pray that you just help her through it, give her direction on what you need for her to do, is rest, is, you know, whatever it is, Lord. I just pray that you give her the mind, Lord, to know what it is that you want for her to do. Lord, I want to lift up Felicia and David, Lord. I just pray that you continue the healing that you're doing in their bodies.
Yes.
Lord, bring them back perfect health, Father.
Yes.
And Lord, I also want to lift up Jeanette, Lord. Please heal her body as well, Lord. Give her physical strength as we travel back to California.
Yes,
Lord, and travel with mercies. And Lord, I just pray that all of us that are hearing this, that were on this call, Lord, and heard this word, Lord, I just pray that you help us to let our light shine, Lord. Help us to receive the word with gladness, Lord, and not allow distractions to take that word from us, Lord. As you're planting these seeds in us, Father, I just pray that those that we encounter, Lord, you bring to our remembrance the words that you've already placed in us so that we may bring that forth, Lord, and plant these seeds, scatter the seeds, Lord, because the harvest is plenty, Lord.
Help us, Lord, to just
be bold, Lord, in our walk for you, as we know that the time is near and there's so much work to be done. Give us the heart, Lord, to follow you wholeheartedly, Lord.
Yeah.
Help us to be pure, Lord, so that on that day that we do meet you face to face, that you do say, well done, good and faithful servant.
Yes, hallelujah.
Lord, we love you and we glorify you. Thank you for everything that you've done for us. Thank you for everything you've done for each person on this call.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Father. We just be glorified. Thank you.
Thank you,
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you
for your grace and your mercy that you extend to us in every day.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. We don't even recognize those blessings, Lord. How you're reaching us every day, how you're speaking to us every day. Help us to be still and silent to hear you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I ask that you just give each and every person the joy, Lord, that only comes from you, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. So whatever it is that we're going through, Lord, I just pray that you give us the joy that surpasses all understanding, Lord.
Yes,
that
Lord.
In the midst of the things that we're that are going on, that we can still stand and be joyful for you, Lord, and the work that is done through us.
Yes, Lord.
And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I want to, Sandra, want to piggyback that. I just want to plead the blood of the Lamb over all the fathers that are on the call, Father God. And I want to bless everyone who pressed through life, Father God, to make it to this call, Lord God. And I bless our family. I want to lift up especially Miss Jeanette and Miss Jessica right now, Father God. Bless them. Cover them by the blood of the Lamb, Father God, as they travel back home to California. No one knows. No one knows the power that we have as a family in Christ.
Yes.
Push away every Sunday at 1 o'clock. You'll be surprised what God will do for you. I honor my sisters and my fathers in this hour. In Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
May God be the glory. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Have a blessed week, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.